Please turn your Bibles to Psalm 119. Psalm 119, we're going to go through the first eight verses tonight. Psalm 119. And the whole theme of this psalm is to be blessed. In these first few verses, be blessed. And I think we all want to be blessed. Now, the theme of Psalm 119 is the Word of God. In our case, the Bible. That's what it's about. In this psalm, it's called the Word, the Law, Testimony, Precepts, Commandments, Statutes, Promise. But it's about the Word of God. It's the longest chapter in the Bible. And it's an acrostic, which means each verse in an eight-verse section starts with the same letter in the Hebrew alphabet. So it's sections of eight. There's 22 letters in the Hebrew alphabet. So there's 176 verses in this psalm, if you know your math. And the alphabet goes from Aleph to Tah. Now, we know that the Word of God is truth. And if we live by it, we're blessed. I think we would all agree. If we live by the Word of God, we are blessed. And if we don't, we're not blessed. Verse 1, it tells us that. Blessed. Now, the Hebrew alphabet isn't the same as our alphabet, so these aren't all going to begin with the same letter. But in the Hebrew, it does begin with the same letter. But it's converted to English and so we can understand what it's saying. So we're not all in the same letter, but in the Hebrew it is. Blessed are the undefiled in the way, who walk in the law of the Lord. So it starts off by saying, blessed are. So I think everyone would want to pay attention. Blessed or blessed are who? Are the undefiled in the way. Those, and that word literally means blameless. Not sinless, but blameless. You see, because the Word of God tells us there is provision for confession, repentance, forgiveness, restoration, therefore one can be blameless. They may have sinned, but in God's eyes, they're blameless because they've gone to the Word of God and done what God has said to do to be forgiven. That's what's wonderful about the Word of God, that it covers everything in life. And so God sees us blameless. Let's turn to Ephesians 1, chapter 3, please. Ephesians 1, chapter 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ, just as he chose us in him in Christ before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. In him we're holy and without blame. We're blameless because we're in Christ and our sins are forgiven. Are washed away. So blessed are the undefiled, the blameless. And if we're walking in the ways of the Lord, if we're a born-again Christian, we meet that criteria. We're walking in the way God would want us to walk. Now, walk, and you notice, the one who, in verse 1, who walk in the law of the Lord. How to be blameless, how to walk right? By walking in the law of the Lord. We live it out. That word walk means to live, to dwell, to live it out. One who completely follows God, the Word of God, obedience to the Word of God is the key to a blessed life. And that keeps us undefiled. If we're following the Word of God, we won't defile ourselves with sin. And so it makes sense. Obedience to God's word keeps us where we should be, to be blessed. Who walk in the law of the Lord. In other words, we're a doer. We live according to it. Back to Psalm 1, please. Remember we went over this one? Psalm 1, verse 1. Again, we see that. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners. Say, you don't associate with these sinful people, do what they do, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. But you're blessed if your delight is in the law of the Lord. You delight in it. You want to do it. You want to keep it. And in his law, he meditates day and night. In other words, it's always on your mind. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. We're blessed. We believe the word of God. We delight in it. We obey it. We will be blessed by the Lord because we're a doer. Then verse 2. Blessed are those who keep his testimonies, keep his word, keep his commandments, who seek him with the whole heart. So first of all, blessed are those who keep his testimonies. In verse 1, we saw walk according to it. And verse 2, we see it's not just knowing the word of God. It's not just studying it. But the emphasis is on keeping it. And we know that's true. You have to keep it. You can't just say, oh, that's right, and that's nice, and it's great reading the word of God. We have to keep it to have a blessed life. See, going to church or to a Bible study will not benefit anyone unless they keep what they heard from the word of God. They keep what they were taught in the Bible study. They keep the whole word. You notice, blessed are those who keep his testimony. And then, along with it, who seek him, God, with the whole heart. You keep his word, you do it, and you seek him, God, with your whole heart. This word means like searching for God. You have wholehearted commitment. There's nothing worse than being a half-hearted Christian or one with a foot in the world and a foot in the Lord. You're blessed if you keep him with the whole heart. Many people that profess to know Christ get into trouble. God doesn't answer their prayer the way they want it. Bad things happen to them, and it's maybe God correcting them, but they don't see it that way. And they don't really keep his commandments or seek God with the whole heart. But then they charge God with not loving them. And why didn't you do that for me? Or why did you let this happen? When realistically, they're not seeking him with the whole heart. Just when they're in trouble. And they wonder, why isn't it working out? Why isn't this happening in our life? Why is this going on? Well, are you keeping all his testimonies, every single one, and searching for God with your whole heart? We can't play games with God. We're either committed to him or not committed to him. And there's no challenging God or questioning or going in and out of your walk with the Lord. Blessed are those who seek him with the whole heart. You know, so when you get married, they say, for better, you promise to stay with this woman lover, for better or for worse, for richer or poorer, in sickness and in health. And you say, I do. That's what we say to the Lord when we're born again. I do. Why? When things get worse or sickness comes and worse happens. Why do people leave each other and why do people leave the Lord when we vowed to do that? You see, we keep what we know to do. We keep God's word. Blessed are those who... And then people wonder, why am I not blessed? Keep his word. That doesn't mean you're not going to go through trials or tribulations or fires, but it means God will get you through and you'll stay steadfast in the Lord. And in it, you seek him with the whole heart. You don't seek a way out. You seek him with the whole heart. Wholehearted commitment to God. We must be careful as Christians to not get to the place where we're seeking the blessings instead of the one who blesses. We can get so caught up with wanting it good in this world, and we seek the blessings and complain when they don't come or we don't think it's a blessing, instead of blessing God and seeking God and searching Him with the whole heart, seeking Him with the whole heart. Let's turn to Psalm 84, back to Psalm 84. Psalm 84, verse 1 and 2. How lovely is your tabernacle, O Lord of hosts. My soul longs, this is searching Him with the whole heart. My soul longs, yes, even faints, for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh cry out for the living God. That's praying to God with your whole heart, seeking God with the whole heart. Back to our text, verse 3. They also, these people who are blessed in their way, they do no iniquity. They walk in His ways. So they walk in the ways of the Lord, not in the ways of the world. They do no iniquity. You know, as a Christian, we should love God and hate evil. We're to love God and hate evil. I don't know about you, but I hate evil. We should love others. We should abstain from sin, even the appearance of sin, it tells us in the Bible. Because sin gets us in trouble. Let's turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. First Thessalonians 5, verse 21. Test all things, hold fast what is good, abstain from every form of evil. That's where we're to be. And the way to abstain from every form of evil is to be doing what's good. Get involved in good. And do the things of the Lord. Don't do iniquity and walk in His ways. Those that are blessed walk in His ways. Jesus said, follow Me. The good thing about following Jesus, if you follow Jesus, you stay out of trouble. Because He's not going to go anywhere that's going to get you into trouble. That's why Jesus said, follow Me. He didn't say, follow your pastor, follow the leader, or Simon says, do this. You follow Jesus. You don't follow different theologies and religions and faiths. Jesus said, follow Me. You see the difference between our faith and everybody else's? Our faith is a person. Everybody else has these doctrines or these beliefs. Our faith is in a person. Jesus said, follow Me because I'm the faith. I'm the Christian faith. And so we follow Him. You know, and if you follow Jesus, if I follow Jesus, man, I will stay out of a lot of trouble. Now, I think we all agree, if we do all of the above, verses 1 to 3, we'll be blessed and we'll stay undefiled. You know, we have to be committed to one master, obedient to the Lord. Verse 4, you have commanded us to keep your precepts diligently. You know, everyone needs to understand God's commands, God's word, they are not options. It isn't whether I want to do it or not. The commands of God are not options. He commands us here in verse 4, you have commanded us to keep your precepts diligently. We diligently obey the word of the Lord. We're diligent about it. Diligence means, hey, you're day in and day out, you're diligent to do this. And we don't have options in the Bible, in God's Word. He commands us to keep his precepts diligent. They're not suggestions on how to live. They are to be kept diligently. He says, do this, and we do that. When I read the Bible and he says, love your enemies, I always think of that. Wow, I got to stop thinking about this other person that I don't like and pray for people. See, they're not options. When he says, be anxious for nothing but pray about everything, it's really not an option. We treat it as that, a lot of people. But it's really not an option. If we want to be blessed, we keep his precepts diligently, with diligence. In other words, we just obey. And I can't pick out the commands I like or can easily do and ignore the other ones. Oh, please don't go there in the Bible because I don't want to read that. We're going to be convicted. You are to love one another as I have loved you, Jesus said. That's what we're to do. I don't pick out the easy ones. We must be fully committed in our heart to the Lord. No walking on the fence. No picking and choosing what I want to do or not do. Just obedience, fully trusting God to bless me. And that's the way to blessing. That's why Psalm 119 starts out, blessed are the undefiled in the way. And it goes on to tell us how to be blessed. God desires to bless his children. And Psalm 119, we're seeing how to be blessed. It's all our part. And whenever I think of anything I ever went through, I can see where I didn't fully commit to God's word. And remember verse 4, you keep his precepts diligently, not wanting to displease God. And I do them because I love him. And now on verse 5, the psalmist now reveals what his desire is. And he says in verse 5, oh, that my ways were directed to keep your statutes. He says, oh, that all I do would be directed by the Holy Spirit of God in order to keep your statutes and not directed by my flesh or myself. Because we can direct our own lives or let God direct our lives. And that's what he's really saying. You know, we go through this thing with, like Paul did, with the flesh and with the spirit. And sometimes we're upset with ourselves. And he's there and he's saying, oh, that my ways were always directed by you, God. And not me. I wish I never got in the way. That my ways were directed to keep your statutes. That all direction would be to keep what you tell me to do. See, he knows God is the one who must keep him where he should be. God will fulfill that which he started in us. We have to yield to the Lord, though. And he will give us strength. And that's what he's praying in verse 5. Oh, I want to be directed by you just to keep your statutes. And he's saying, help me, Lord. I want to be blessed. I want to please you. Please help me. Don't let the flesh direct me anymore. You know why? The flesh only wants to please itself. Don't give in to the flesh. Walk in the Spirit. You know, in our prayer, we should cry out to God to direct us so that we'll be led by the Holy Spirit in all we do and count on God's strength to do it. But we need to be willing and yield. I don't know about you, but I hate spiritual torture. You ever go through spiritual torture? That's what verse 6 is about. Then I would not be ashamed when I look into all your commandments. The torture of my mind, my heart, and my spirit because I was disobedient to God's command. You know that place? Ah. Oh. Maybe this morning you railed on someone, you shouldn't have said what you said, and it's killed you all day. Spiritual torture. And he says, oh. You know, I want to be directed to keep your statutes so that I would not be ashamed when I look into all your commandments. When you're falling, alienated yourself against the Lord, disobeyed, whatever it is, you look into the Word of God and what happens? You get ashamed. Because the Lord always points you to that place like, oh no, that's me, I just did that. And he's probably tired of this. You see, the writer here, tired of living just outside of God, always wants to be in the Word of God, obedient, because, and he wants him to want to be directed by God, because, and he says, then I would not be ashamed when I look into your commandments. Because when we do something to disobey, we get ashamed. We're convicted. And it's a horrible place to be. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 26. Matthew chapter 26. Remember Jesus' betrayal and arrest, Peter watching? Verse 69, Matthew 26. Now Peter sat outside in the courtyard, and a servant girl came to him saying, "You also were with Jesus of Galilee." But he denied it before them all, saying, "I do not know what you are saying." He lied. He was ashamed of the Lord, or didn't want to associate with him, so because he had fear. All kinds of things going on in his life. "I don't know what you're saying." When he had gone out to the gateway, another girl saw him and said to those who were there, "This fellow also was with Jesus of Nazareth." But again, he denied with an oath, "I do not know the man." Oh, boy. A lot of times you get discouraged with yourself and you're getting tortured. And you say, "Oh, give me another chance, God." He gave Peter another chance. And guess what? He blew it. Did you ever do that? God, I'll never do that. And guess what? And a little later, those who stood by came up and said to Peter, "Surely you are one of them, for your speech betrays you." Then he began to curse and swear, saying, "I do not know the man," and immediately a rooster crowed. Three times. God gave him three chances. And Peter remembered the word of Jesus who said to him, "Before the rooster crows, you will deny me three times." What did he do? So he went out and wept bitterly. He was being tortured. Oh, that awful feeling when you deny the Lord by your speech or your actions. He went out and wept bitterly. He probably was ashamed to even get close to Jesus. He was probably wondering, will I ever be able to walk? You know, what will happen? How will my relationship be? He wasn't sure of the resurrection yet, but he's wondering, man, is it all over? But thank God for forgiveness. That's what we do. We ask for forgiveness and get right. Mark chapter 16, verse 7. Mark chapter 16, verse 7. After the resurrection, verse 7, Jesus appears, "But go tell his disciples and Peter that he is going before you into Galilee, and there you will see him as he said to you." You notice how he made a point to go and tell Peter and the disciples that I have risen. Peter was probably wondering, you know, what's his relationship like? But I'll bet you when they came back and told him, "Hey, we saw him," and he says, "Go and tell Peter." He probably felt, ah. Because he repented. He wept bitterly. Now look at John chapter 21. John chapter 21. Verse 15. After Jesus' resurrection, when they had eaten breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me more than these?" And he said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." He said to him, "Feed my lambs." He said to him again a second time, "Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me?" And he said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." He said to him, "Well, tend my sheep." And he said to him the third time, "Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me?" Peter was grieved because he had said to him the third time, "Do you love me?" And he said to him, "Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you." And Jesus said to him, "Feed my sheep." Isn't that interesting? He denies him three times. Three times, Jesus pulls that love out of him. He gives him a chance to declare that he loves Jesus. Three times, he says, "Do you love me?" And I think it's interesting, the third time, verse 17, it says, Peter was grieved. Well, do you think he got to feel what the Lord felt like? Now it's on the other side. Now Peter is grieved. Oh man, why is he doubting that I love him? Well, Peter, do you know what you did? You denied the Lord three times. Where was your love then? But see, the point is, as we go to the Lord, according to the word of God, confess your sin, and he's faithful and just to forgive you of all your sin. We're restored. And that's even in the word of God. So we keep all his precepts, all his commands, and there's cleansing and restoration and washing and all these blessings. He was drawing his repentance and confession out and having him declare that he loved him. Back to our text, Psalm 119, verse 7. So after he states what he would like to not be ashamed and look into all his commandments, he says, I will praise you with uprightness of heart when I learn your righteous judgments. Did you ever notice how hard it is to praise the Lord when you've been in sin or disobedience or done something wrong? Isn't it hard to praise the Lord? And someone comes across your path, hey, praise the Lord. You know what he did? You can't even get into it. You're so guilty, so ashamed. It's because you're not upright in heart. Oh, he says, I will praise you. He says, as I do this, you direct my paths. I look into your commandments. I obey them. I'm not going to be ashamed. Then I'm going to praise you with my uprightness of heart. That'll just be on his lips, praising the Lord. When I learn your righteous judgments. So he gets things right with God. I will praise you. And we need to get things right with God and live according to God's word so that we're fellowshipping and worshiping with a pure heart, a right heart. And then verse 8, he says, I will keep your statutes. Oh, do not forsake me utterly. So now he's saying, the writer, he's saying, he desires to be blessed. So he cries out to the Lord, I will keep your statutes. I will obey your commands. He's determined and committed now. I want to do this. I will do this, Lord. He doesn't say, I'll try. He says, I will. I will keep your statutes. He knows this is the way to be blessed. I will keep your statutes. Oh, do not forsake me utterly. He may have felt not worthy to be back into a right standing with God. And so he says, oh, do not forsake me utterly. Please don't forsake me, God. He realized how awful it is to be separated by sin from God. He says, I will keep your word. Don't forsake me. And you know what the word tells us? He will never leave us or forsake us. We just separate ourselves from him. So we're blessed. God, we thank you for your word tonight. We thank you for your great love for us. We thank you for forgiveness. We thank you for truth. Our desire is to be blessed, Lord, to walk in your ways. Please don't let our flesh get in the way. Give us wisdom, discernment. We pray your Holy Spirit teaches us all things and that we obey them and do them. Keep them. Keep your word in our heart. Thank you, God, for allowing us to study your word tonight. We thank you for this opportunity to worship you, to pray, and to just sit at your feet. It's wonderful to be a Christian, to be righteous in Christ. Thank you, Lord, for bringing us into your family. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.